Welcome to the Westbluff Podcast. I am your host, J.D. Jackson. And as always, you can find me on Twitter, J.D. Jackson at the Westbluff Pod, and on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Guys, the NBA season is finally here. It is Sunday, October 22nd, and the NBA season starts in just 2 days, and the Clippers play on Wednesday versus the Portland Trail Blazers on NBA League Pass. I cannot wait. I'm going to get into what my predictions are for the season. I'm going to get into what I expect from all these players right here on the Westbluff Podcast. But first, I have to ask you, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, and much, much more. So please hit that subscribe button. Now let's get it. Guys, I am so excited about the upcoming Los Angeles Clippers regular season. Welcome to the Westwood Podcast pre-regular season podcast. So this was usually a little bit longer, but I want to get into what I expect from the team, what I expect from each player, and things like that. But first, guys, we got a little bit of news. I'm sure Russ fans will appreciate it. It's a small detail. But Russell Westbrook, who has been listed at 6'3" tall for 15 seasons of the NBA, he is now in year 16 listed as 6'4". Now, I don't know if you guys recall, I remember telling a lot of people that when I was able to stand very, very close to Russell Westbrook within a couple of feet, I thought he was the biggest 6'3 guard I have ever seen. That's the biggest 6'3 person I've ever seen. And this doesn't make that much of a difference, but I'm sure a lot of Russ fans knew he was a little bit taller than 6'3". Look, it doesn't change anything to me. He's still a 6'4" point guard who lives in the paint, athletic as ever, a great creator, things like that. I'm sure there'll be people who try to take really a half an inch because he was 6'3½. So it's really a half an inch difference. I'm sure they'll use that to change some narratives in their direction, things like that. So still amazing as a guard at 6'4" to have the offensive rebounding ability of Russell Westbrook. But I did want to let you guys know that. So he's 6'4", 200 listed per NBA.com. So I just want to get that news out there. Now, let's get into the team. I'm very happy with the Clippers as far as their camaraderie, their brotherhood, the way they've approached the preseason, taking it serious. Now we get to see if they're going to make sure that that bleeds into all 82 games of the regular season and taking that serious. Not that they don't take it serious, but, you know, don't take any shortcuts. One minute at a time, one quarter at a time, one game at a time. They don't take any shortcuts and just look to the playoffs. Because the truth is the Clipper Nation does not have a championship at this moment. Zero in their history. So Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Terrence Mann, Zubac, Powell, all Bones Highland, Plumlee, Batum, they are going to try to bring an NBA championship to the Los Angeles Clippers. And they can't take any shortcuts. They can't take any nights off. You know, I mean, from the hard work. I'm not saying that they'd get injured, they can't take nights off. But they just have to take every quarter, every half, every game serious. Every practice serious. And that's where Russell Westbrook comes in. He practices as hard as he plays in the game. That's where he comes in. And that's what he's going to give to Clipper Nation this season. A full season of Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. I'm looking forward to that duo as well. Guys, I truly believe that the starting lineup for the Los Angeles Clippers, which by the way is Russell Westbrook, Terrence Mann, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac. So that is the starting lineup currently for the Los Angeles Clippers. Ty Lue announced that is the official starting lineup. And I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be one of the best defensive lineups in the NBA, one of the most diverse and talented defensive lineups in the NBA, and one of the most disruptive NBA defenses. I truly do believe that. You know, you guys know I have my trepidations about the bench defense when you start to make those substitutions. I'm not saying these are bad players. I just don't think their defensive ability is quite like that of Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Zubac, and Terrence Mann. I think Robert Covington's a very, very good help defender. He could be a rim protector. He's got long arms, wingspan, things like that. But I think, you know, I think Bones Hyland, I think he works hard. I just think he's a little bit undersized. I think Norman Powell, you guys know about how I feel about his defense. I just don't think it's very good. And so I think when you start, and I don't think that Mason Plumlee is a great defensive center as it either. So I'm just worried about the second unit's defense a little bit. But what that second unit is going to be able to do is run, run, run. And they're going to get to the rim and, you know, they're going to create points. So because Powell, you know, he can fill it up with the best of them. Bones Hyland can as well. Mason Plumlee is able to catch lobs. He's able to dish at the elbow or at the free throw line. He's a really good passer for a big. So what they will be able to do is score. My only worry about them is how they hold up defensively and how long they'll be out there. So we'll see how that goes. But the starting unit, I 100% believe, will be one of the top 5 to 7 defenses in the NBA. And I really think it will be top 5 when they're out there for longer than just a half. I think the Clippers defense was around 7th or 8th for the preseason. But you got to remember, you know, the Clippers, they were only playing about the stars for about a half, if that, and I think the first game. So, and then none of the stars played in game 4. So I'm looking forward to seeing them play, you know, 30, 36 minutes, somewhere in that range, and just see how good that defense is going to be. It's the thing I'm most excited about. Offensively, because they'll be disruptive, I think the starting lineup will do pretty good offensively. I'm not worried about them scoring. I know some people are. I'm not worried about them scoring at all. I think they'll push the pace and they'll get easy looks. And Russell Westbrook's ability to get people and get his teammates an open shot after a made basket, so not even after a turnover or a steal or anything like that, it's second to none. It's second to none. He can get the same shot it takes other teams 20 to 23 seconds to get. He can get it in less than 7 seconds after a made basket as well. So I think it's going to be helpful for them. Not to mention that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are just elite offensive isolation players. I'm just not that worried about them being able to score the basketball. Now, the bench unit, like I said, I have no issue. I just don't think they're having trouble scoring the basketball either. So I think the Clippers will be able to score points. I'm not worried about that. They just have to be elite defensively. And I think that this team can definitely have a great regular season. Now, I think they need to shore up the 4 spot if they are going to run, make a deep playoff run, which maybe that's why they decided to start Terrence Mann and go so that when they come off the bench, they can come off the bench with Robert Covington. So we'll see if that's the thought process. I'm not saying Robert Covington's the greatest power forward of all time, but he's, like I say, he's a great help defender. Long arms, he can shoot the 3, things like that. And so maybe that's why they want to start Terrence Mann and have Paul George or Kawhi or Terrence Mann kind of play the 4 spot so that they can bring Robert Covington off the bench to play the 4 spot. And maybe that's something they're looking at. You got to remember, they're going to play one of those stars with the bench unit. Then you've got Bones, Powell, Plumlee, Robert Covington. So maybe that's the way they decide they're going to do it. So we'll see. I'm excited. Super excited for the defense and for the transition offense for sure. And I think that this is going to be a great season. Now, that's my general thoughts on the Los Angeles Clippers. I don't think they're a championship team yet. Let me watch 10, 15 games and we'll see how that 4 spot is. The 4 spot's where I worry about. So I don't believe it is right now. But I could change my mind if they come out here the first 10 or 15 games and they just look like a monster. And right now, I just don't think they are. I think they need to shore up the 4 spot, definitely. But we'll see. We'll see how Robert Covington does at the backup 4 and how Kawhi or Paul George does starting at the 4. Or unless it's going to be Terrence Mann, whichever of those 3 it is. Now, if they make a believer out of me, you know, then we can go from there. I'm super excited that Terrence Mann is starting. I think I screenshotted my own tweet from early October that I couldn't wait for this Russell Westbrook, Terrence Mann, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Zubac starting lineup that came to fruition. So I'm excited to see it. They can switch defensively. I'm a little bit worried about quick guards, But they can switch defensively. They got long arms, good wingspans outside of Terrence Mann. Well, Russell Westbrook's wingspan's still under 7 foot. It's about 6 foot 10, even though he's 6'3", 6'4", or I'm sorry, 6'4" now. He's got about 6'10 wingspan, so he's long as well, right there with Kawhi, Paul George, Zubac. So I'm excited. Very excited about that starting lineup, definitely. Now, that's my general thoughts. I think they're a playoff team. I just don't think they're a championship team yet. But that remains to be seen. I think they have championship talent with Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Kawhi Leonard. I guess I got to see the bench play defense, and I've got to see if the four spot is going to be what it needs to be. Now, I don't know if Ty Lue's going to play Robert Covington, so that's part of the reason why I'm holding back that judgment on if this is a championship team, if they can get to like the Western Conference Finals and actually make a run to a championship. I think the talent is there definitely in starting lineup and with three stars. Now I want to get into individual players so we can get into that a little bit more. So we're going to get into the individual players, what I expect from them, and then something I want to challenge each player with. Now I'm not telling them this directly. It's just kind of how I feel. So I've got the roster up, and I guess for now we will start. You know, this is a Westwood podcast, and Clippers fans listen to this podcast, Russell Westbrook fans. I got a lot of Russell Westbrook fans who follow me, so we'll start with Russell Westbrook. Look, Russell Westbrook, look, he came back on a $3.8 million deal when he can get a lot more money, but that's not something I'm taking into consideration. You know, I'm not a person that's really care about their pockets. Russell Westbrook, what I expect for him is, you know, somewhere in the teens in points, somewhere in this 16 to 19 range. And I don't think he's going to average 20 or anything like that. And I think he's going to pick his spots. And I think he's going to be a point guard. And I think he may average his all-time high in assists this year. And that's saying a lot because Russell Westbrook averaged just under 12 assists before his career with the Washington Wizards. But I think he can possibly match that or beat that in this season. He's got so many weapons. He gets to just be a point guard and worry about that. He doesn't have to score all the points like he's had to do in the past and things like that. He can just feed these outstanding wing players that he has in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Powell, things like that. And so I think he can average really like an all-time high in assists this season. And I expected him somewhere in the middle teens to upper teens in points. I don't think he's going to have like one of those balloon seasons where he's just averaging 20 plus points. Also, what I expect from Russell Westbrook is I expect for him to have just an outstanding defensive season. I really think he's going to, and steals isn't a great indication of defense, but it is if you're getting the steals the right way. And I think he's going to average somewhere around 1.5 to 2 steals per game. I really do, but I think we're going to see his value in the defensive end and like in crunch time. I really, really do in the clutch. You know, that's more than just being a good shooter in the clutch. It's about doing all the things right in the clutch. You know, his outstanding ability to get extra possessions off of offensive rebounds in the clutch. I expect for him to be able to get extra possessions defensively, not just from a steal, but just like being in the right spot, drawing a charge, or being in just guarding the best ball handler, the best player on the opposing team, and getting that job done. That's what I expect for Russell Westbrook. And so I'm excited for his season. And these are all things he's done before. So this wouldn't be an aberration. And I also expect for Russell Westbrook to really, really take the brotherhood that him and Paul George built in OKC and use it to keep Paul George, keep him to his bully ball that he said he was going to do per the podcast P show. So he did that in OKC and Paul George gave him that credit, that he just pushed him and pushed him, told him to keep going and keep going, be aggressive. And I expect the same thing. I expect Russell Westbrook to hold Paul George to that statement that he's back on his bully shit. That's what I expect from Russell Westbrook. My challenge to Russell Westbrook this year is to shoot somewhere between 78 and 82% from the free throw line. I know people are going to tell me, well, come on, JD, he shot 60, 70%. I don't care. For a decade, the man shot 80 to 82% from the free throw line. I want him somewhere in the 78 to 82% from the free throw line this season. That is my challenge to Russell Westbrook. I don't care about the three-pointers. I care about his free throw shooting, because the way he's going to average 16, 17, 18, 19 points a game is being efficient at the free throw line. That's where his efficiency kicks in. I know, you know, fam, and Russell Westbrook knows that 60-something percent from the free throw line isn't good enough. They are free. They're free throws. Gotta have those. That is what my challenge. If I could just speak to Russell Westbrook myself, that is my challenge to Russell Westbrook. 78 to 82% from the free throw line for the 2024 regular season and playoffs. That is what it is. Now, he shot great from the free throw line and the playoffs last season. He was a better shooter with the Clippers, period, once he got there, but he was really great from the free throw line. I think it was just under 90%. I think it was 80-something percent in the playoffs versus the Suns. But I'm saying for an entire season, we know he gets it done in the playoffs, but I'm talking about for the entire season, 78 to 82% is my challenge to Russell Westbrook. You guys know I'm a fan of Russell Westbrook and his play. I know he's a polarizing figure, but I think he's one of the best point guards to ever play the game, and I think he's one of the best players to ever play the game of basketball, and I truly think he's a top 10 in providing excitement of the game in Russell Westbrook. Like, I want to see Russell Westbrook play. He's that exciting to me, but that's why I watch him play. And now it's time for a chip. Now it's time for a chip. So that's my expectations for one Russell Westbrook. Now, we're going to move on to Paul George. Paul George is a player I don't expect for him to average a ton of assists this season. I expect for him to keep his word and be on his bully ball. So I do think Paul George is going to average somewhere between 25 and 27 points a game. I just think he's going to be outrageous this season. I was there. I watched him play in OKC and how great that he was. And so I think he's going to be around that 25 point per game mark on ultra efficiency. And I think sometimes he'll balloon up there and be in that 26, 27 range throughout the 82 game season, because he's just going to be on fire some nights and he's just going to have it. And Russell Westbrook and Kawhi and them, they're just going to feed him. And so I'm expecting a ton of points for him. I'm not expecting a ton of assists from him, 2, maybe 3 per game. That's what I'm expecting. I just think Paul George is going to be great. I think he looks great and fluid in the preseason. I didn't expect that quite. I expected him to kind of look like he didn't trust that knee. That was not the case. He was out there hooping. He was out there breaking ankles, spin moves, crossovers, getting to the rim, things like that. And so I'm excited to watch him play, and I think he's going to be great for the Clippers. I think that Clippers fans are going to be like, wow. We knew he was great here outside of him being injured, but this is on another level. I can't stress enough the brotherhood and the friendship that Paul George and Russell Westbrook have, the respect they have for each other. It's a big deal that Russell Westbrook's here for the Clippers, and it's a big deal specifically also for Paul George that Russell Westbrook is here. That's why I wanted him here so badly. That's what I expect from Paul George. I just really expect him to be an ultra-efficient shooter. Very aggressive, getting to the rim, letting Russell Westbrook, for the most part, take care of the point guard duties. It doesn't mean he's not going to get those doubles teams and find open players, because he's a good passer if he gets the ball out quick. That we don't want him having to take over the full point guard duties. He doesn't want that either. But I think he'll average 2 to 3 just because he's just a great player. He's going to draw those double teams, and there's going to be players that are going to be open. But I expect for him to rise up and do a great job at scoring and be ultra efficient this season, both in the field, at the mid-range, outside three-point, in the paint, and at the free throw line. So that's what I'm expecting from Paul George. And I'm also expecting for him to be elite defensively. As always, lots of steals, getting into passing lanes, blowing up pick and rolls, you know, things like that. And so that's what I'm expecting from Paul George. I know Paul George's session here isn't as long, But I just expect for him to be Paul George, and I expect for him to be healthy. Now, the challenge I want to give Paul George, he does have a tendency to want to settle for the jumper. Don't get me wrong. He is an elite jump shooter. Elite jump shooter. And he can get to his spots whenever he wants and rise up and shoot over some of the best defenders. But I want Paul George to be on his bully shit like he was in OKC. Get to the rim, draw fouls, dunk on people, scream, yell, flex. Russ fans know what I'm talking about. That's the Paul George we want to see. That 360 he did in traffic last season right before he got injured, beautiful. Beautiful. Get to the rim, get to the line, put some fouls on these other perimeter defenders. Yeah, go ahead and rise up, shoot your middies, shoot your threes. That's great and dandy. I think that'll be amazing for the Clippers and for him. But get in the paint. Get to the rim. You're so smooth, nobody can stop you. No one's stopping Paul George from getting inside the paint because of how well he dribbles, how smooth he moves. He doesn't have the speed that Russell Westbrook has. I don't even think he has the athleticism that Russell Westbrook has, but he's got elite footwork and an elite ability to handle the basketball and use his body as leverage as far as getting people to move in the wrong direction so he can get to where he wants to be. Get to the rim, Paul George. Draw free throws. You're an elite free throw shooter as well. Your team gets to rest. You hit the free throws. You get a foul on the other team, and that helps. You get some of those defenders off the floor. Because they're in foul trouble. Making things easier for you, Kawhi, Russell Westbrook, Paul George. Powell, Bones, making it easier. Some of those great defenders of opposing teams have to sit because you're getting to the rim and drawing fouls. So that's my challenge to one, Paul George. All right, up here next, we're going to do Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, you guys know how I feel about him. I think he's one of the best two-way players to ever play the game of basketball. I just watch him and I just am amazed at how great he is at both sides. I put him right there with Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Hakeem Olajuwon. Those are just Tim Duncan. Those are just elite two-way players. They are just as elite defensively as they are offensively. He's just amazing. You guys know that's how I feel about him. But what I will say is I think he's going to average around 24 to 25 points a game as well, right there with Paul George. Maybe a little bit more. We'll see. I do think he'll average a little bit more assists. I had Paul George at around 2 or 3. I think Paul George is going to be in his bully ball. I think Kawhi Leonard, the amount of attention he's going to draw, like of the big three, no team really wants to give Kawhi Leonard anything. This is going to be the one person they choose. And so I think he'll average somewhere in the 3 to 5, somewhere in there in assists, just because they're just going to garner that. He's going to garner that attention. And he's a great passer. Really, all three of the big three are just outstanding passers. And so I think he'll average a little bit more than Paul George, but not a ton. And so that's where I think he'll be. Like I said, he's an elite defensive person. I think he'll average somewhere around 2 steals a game, somewhere close, 1.82, something like that. But you know, Paul George, I think as well. So Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Russell Westbrook last season, by the way, combined for 4 steals per game. And so I think they'll be right there or even more. We'll see. Between the three of them, they're just outstanding defensive players. And I love their steals. At the end of last season, because they were steals that were low risk, high reward. There wasn't really a lot of gambles. It was just good defensive play. And I think Kawhi Leonard would be right around that 2 steal mark. Now, Kawhi, you know, he's great at the point of attack. He's great off the ball. You know, he's just an outstanding defender, an outstanding offensive player. My challenge to Kawhi Leonard, you know, is just to, you know, continue to embrace even more that double and triple team and, you know, just find his teammates. They're going to do that. And I know Kawhi Leonard, you know, the reason why players are elite players, the elite ones, they're elite because they're bad shot makers, right? You know, they can shoot and score over 2 or 3 defenders. They're just that great at basketball. That's what makes them superstars. That's what makes them elite. That's what makes them ones who can create their own shot and go get their own bucket. And he's going to have those opportunities. And so my challenge to him is just to continue to embrace that and just find his open teammates. You know, he's got Bones out there, Powell, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Zubac, Plumlee. He's got all these weapons out there offensively. And so when he's done double and triple team, like, I know he's still going to rise up and shoot over the top, as he should, because he's Kawhi Leonard. But I want him to embrace that and just continue to find these open shooters, these open dump offs down in the paint and things like that leads to easy buckets. So that's my challenge to one Kawhi Leonard. The only thing I will add is I know people are worried about Kawhi Leonard, you know, and the speed of Russell Westbrook and things like that. I'm not too worried about that, at least not yet. What I do know is that Russell Westbrook will create a ton of easy open shots for Kawhi Leonard, even after a made basket. And so I think that'll actually keep Kawhi Leonard more fresh. I think it'll be fresher as the season goes on because he doesn't have to work so hard for every single point. Russell Westbrook's able to just manufacture them. Even in the preseason, he had a few manufactured threes to Kawhi Leonard. He missed some, you know, some he made, but it was minimal effort for Kawhi Leonard. It was just catch and shoot. And so I think those things that keep him fresher. So I'm not too worried about the speed of Russell Westbrook kind of hurting Kawhi Leonard. At least not yet. At least not yet. But yes, that is my take on Kawhi Leonard. And that is my challenge to one Kawhi Leonard. Next up, I want to do our fourth starter, Terrence Mann. Terrence Mann, I think that he's a good basketball player. And I think that he's, you know, a great person in the locker room, things like that. And he's young. He's 27, so he's not that young. But I like Terrence Mann. I think he's a good basketball player. I don't think he's a superstar, but I don't think he's a bad basketball player either. And so I want to be clear on that because it seems like it's two extremes on social media, on Twitter and things like that. I think he's a good basketball player. I think he's a good role player alongside, you know, the big three. He can guard. I worry about him a little bit with quick guards, but, you know, he's a good help defender. He can guard, you know, he can shoot the three. I think Terrence Mann is a good basketball player. I want him to average somewhere around 10 points. I think he averaged about 10 last season. I think he averaged about 8 last season. So I want him to get around that 10 to 11 point mark. I won't get into his challenges. So I hope he averages 10 points a game, plays solid defensively, he's a good help defender. Uses strength and things like that to be a good defender and just complement the big three and Zubac really, really well. So that's what I want, and that's what I think we'll see from Terrence Mann. I have to applaud him. All the trade rumors and whether he's touchable or untouchable, he just remained a professional. He says he's ready. It's just business. And he's going to go out there and play hard no matter what. He's just a great, great basketball player, good person, it seems like, in the locker room. So I'm hoping we have a good season out of Terrence Mann. As far as his challenge, like, this is my, I have a couple of challenges for Terrence Mann. And okay, I like Terrence Mann, and I know he probably doesn't listen to this podcast or anything like that, but if I could speak to him, I would just say, brother, let that sucker fly. Sometimes I think he's really hesitant to shoot. You were out there with the big three. They trust you with everything. They talk you up. They hype you up. And they pass you ball, shoot it. I just want him to let it fly. Sometimes I think he's a little hesitant to shoot. And my challenge to him is shoot the rock, bro. Just shoot the rock. We believe in you. I mean, I believe Terrence Mann is somewhere around a 38% three-point shooter. Almost 39%. I think it's 38.9% last season. I think he was 40-plus percent in the playoffs. And so I just want him to just let it fly. Shoot the ball, man. That's kind of my challenge to Terrence Mann. And I also want him to get his rebounds up just a little bit. I think he usually averages somewhere around 3 rebounds. And I would like to see him in that 5 to 6 range just to help out the big three, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook, and Zubac on the glass. And I think also because he'll probably play some minutes with the bench, I believe that It'll be helpful to the bench unit as well for Terrence Mann to kind of get on that glass a little bit. I would like to see him somewhere in that 5 to 6 range rather in the three rebound range. I know he's 6'5", but just want him to get in there and see if he can't just pull down a couple more a game, and see how that. I think it'll be helpful, especially for the second unit. And so I'm excited to see what Terrence Mann does after all the trade rumors and speculation and things like that. I'm looking forward to seeing him play. He's a good basketball player, for sure. And that is my challenge for one, Terrence Mann. Next up is Zubac, our big man in the middle. Zubac, I think that he's a very strong defender as far as the center's concerned. I know he's not a rim protector. He's not, this elite rim protector is going to just swat everything. But I do think he's sound defensively. He knows where to be. He's a good communicator and things like that. The Clippers are statistically much better defensively with Zubac on the floor rather than off over since he's been there. And so he's a sound defensive center. He knows where to be and how to communicate and things like that. I think that his defense is very noticeably better than Plumlee. We'll get to Plumlee later. He offers something different. And so I'm excited to see Zubac in another season. I think that, he's going to be sound defensively. He's going to be good as far as on the boards and things like that. I think that Zubac is, he's going to be great as far as getting his touches with Russell Westbrook in town, running the show, running the point guard position. Now, Zubac, I won't get into his challenge yet, but I think you guys can all probably guess what that is. So Zubac averaged about 9 points, or I think he averaged 10 points last season, almost 11. I think he'll be in that 12 point a game range. That's what I believe we'll see from him, somewhere at 12 to 13. I think he'll average about 10 rebounds. That's kind of where he's usually at. I think he averaged 9.5 last season. No, I think it was 9.9 last season. So I expect him to be around that 10, 11 boards a game. Zubac, he's a pretty good free throw shooter for a big man, shoots about 75%. So I'm excited about that. He's just going to be sound. He's 64% field goal percentage shooter. He shoots are only around the rim for the most part. So I think we'll see all of the same things that we normally see from him. The thing is, Zubac actually did. We don't really think of him as a rim protector, but he actually did average 1.3 blocks last season. So, he's getting to some. He's getting to some for sure. So I gotta give him that credit's due. I don't think of him as that either, but he did get to quite he almost averaged 1.5 blocks last season, so it's pretty good. My challenge to Zubac, and I mean this in the most respectful way, I'm really not trying to be funny or take shots, is I just want him to catch the basketball. I'm not, it's just his hands, even in the last preseason game. Russell Westbrook threw him a dime, and I get it. Russell Westbrook throws those balls 100 miles an hour, but one of it is because Russell Westbrook does pass the ball through really small windows. He's just able to get them there with either hand, and it hits Zubac in the hands. He drops it, and it is a dime. And those are the type of passes that even when Russell Westbrook got there last season, for the last 21 games, we saw Zubac drop some of those passes, and they're easy conversions, if he's able to secure the basketball. So I just my challenge to him is just for him to just really work on his hands and catching those bullet passes from Russell Westbrook. He's not going to take a whole lot of speed off of him because the windows are so small. But that's my challenge to Zubac. I actually think Zubac is a very sound center for the Clippers. He's going to do his job defensively. He's going to get on the glass. He's going to set screens. He's going to do all of those things well. I just, and I think Russell Westbrook is going to give us some touches in the post. I think that's something they do want to do. Russell Westbrook historically has always gotten his big involved at the very beginning of basketball games. He's kind of always done that. He did it with Steven Adams, did it with, anywhere from Gafford to Lopez, Thomas Bryant before he got injured. Clint Capella, things like that. He's historically always gotten his big involved early in the basketball game just to make sure they get some touches. And I expect the same. I think Zubac will do well. I just want him to be able to catch the basketball. That's my challenge to him. And we'll see about, the centers are going to try to play more at the level of the basketball. I don't think any center is going to be great in that area. It's hard for any center to guard guards up at the 3-point line. Zubac's not going to be any different, neither is Plumlee. And so we'll see how that goes. But that's my challenge for one, Zubac. Let's talk about someone super fun to watch, Bones Highland. Bones Highland, look, I like watching Bones Highland play. He's a ton of fun. I mean, he's high octane. He's super exciting to watch. He's just go, go, go. And he can fill it up with the best of them at times. Sometimes he has an off night, especially from outside. But, man, can he get to the rim? And does he have some speed? He's super fun to watch. Bones, look, I don't know. I think he's going to truly be the backup point guard now. I think that Ty Lue wants that. And I think the Clippers organization want that for Bones Highland. Now, right now, I know he tweaked his, well, I don't want to say tweaked. I know he's injured his ankle. So we'll see. You know, if he's available for week one or not. The last I checked with Law Murray was that he doesn't have an official timetable yet, but that he just doesn't think it looks that great for week one. So I'll fill you guys in when I know. But right now, it looks like he may miss a little bit of time here. But nonetheless, last season, look, he averaged about 12 points, almost 12 points, about 2.5 rebounds, 3 assists on 39% from the field. So he wasn't ultra efficient. But I like Bones Highland a lot. So I expect him to be, I really think he's going to score quite a bit of points. So I think he'll be around that 12-point range. I really, somewhere in that 10 to 12 again. I know that seems like a lot considering that Powell's on the team as well. But I really think he will. I think he'll average somewhere in that 10 to 12 range. I think he'll have some games when he's got 16, 18, because he really could just fill it up like that. I don't think he's going to average much more rebounds. He's a little bit undersized. He's 6'2", but that isn't really a problem. He's less than 170 pounds. Like, just for context, Russ is 6'4", 200, 2 inches taller, 31 pounds heavier. So I don't think he's going to average much more rebounds than two. So I'm not really worried about that. I did think that his field goal percentage was a bit low, personally. But for the LA Clippers, I believe his field goal percentage was a little bit higher. It's at 40%, and he shot 35% from three. And so he's not the most efficient player. But I like that he's going to keep the pace up. So when you come off the court with Russell Westbrook and you come on the court with Bones Highland, they'll still play the same. And so I'm excited to see what that looks like with the second unit. Now, I worry about the second unit's defense. I talked about that earlier in the podcast, but I'm excited to see what it looks like. That they'll play at the same pace no matter which point guard is on the floor. Now it's on steroids when it's Russell Westbrook, but nonetheless they'll play with that same speed that they want to play with no matter which point guard is on the floor. And we'll see which of the big three plays with the second unit. I think historically it's been Kawhi Leonard, so we'll see if that's what we see. Now for Bones, like I said, I think he'll average about that points, be the same in the rebounds. I want him to average a little bit more assists, right? You're playing point guard position. They're trusting you with those dudes when Russell Westbrook is sitting. Three assists. I think we need to be in that 5 to 6 assist range. Like, you're going to get your points because your Bones high. You can get to the rim at will for the most part. But I want to see those assist numbers almost double. Get into that 5 to 6 instead of that 3 assists per game. And really embrace that point guard duties. You guys know when Bones first got to the Clippers, the first thing I said was, I don't think he's a point guard yet. I just don't. He's a combo guard who's a great scorer. Now, there are combo guards who are great scorers who are also really great point guards. I didn't think that was Bones yet, and I still don't yet. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see him be that point guard who can also score, that combo guard that is both a point guard and one that can go get his own basket. And so that's my challenge to one, Bones Highland. All right, next up, Norman Powell. Look, Norman Powell is an outstanding scorer. He's shifty, uses his body to just get the defender off balance, can get to the rim, can shoot the mid-range, can shoot from three. I mean, Norman Powell, he averaged 17 points last season on 48% shooting. I mean, he's all the way almost in that 50% club. Just such an outstanding basketball player. Look, and he also shot just under 40% from three last season as well, and 81% from the free throw line. Look, he's an ultra efficient scorer. It's the reason why, you know, the second unit is going to be able to fill it up. So he averaged 17 points last season. Look, I think Bones would be in that, like I said, somewhere in that 10 to 12 point range. And so I really do think that, you know, I think that Powell's going to be in that 16 to 18 range again, just because I think they're going to have to bounce off of each other in the second unit, plus one of the stars will be out there as well. And so I think he'll be in that 16 to 18 point range because of his efficiency. Although I didn't think he was all that efficient in the preseason, but it looked like in the last game he kind of started to get rolling and get his stuff. The last game he played, started to get rolling and get his stuff together. So as far as his efficiency is concerned, it's hard to get your in-game. You can try to simulate and practice all you want, but game situations is how you get that game win, you know, that game breathing in, that stamina from playing a game. So, which is the whole point of, you know, the preseason. So I think it's there. You know, so I think Powell's going to, you know, somewhere in the 16 to 18 points. I think he'll average the same, maybe, you know, 3-4 rebounds. My challenge to Norman Powell, like, I know that he can score with the best of them. I know he can drop 30 on any given night because he's just that great of a scorer. I have two for him. My challenge to Norman Powell is you're so shifty. You draw so much attention when you're going down speed because you're able to get to your spots when you want. There's just no reason why Norman Powell shouldn't average more than one assist. One? Just try to get to three. You know, there are players open. I know because I've watched them. I've clipped them a few times. There are players standing by themselves because he draws so much attention off the bench because he's just an elite scorer. And so that's one of my, so we have one challenge for him, and that is to average more assists. Really get that head up. And I know his job is to go out there and fill it up, but to just get that head up and just look for these dump off passes to the big standing, you know, cutting to the in the paint or the wide up and corner shooter once you blow past your guy. That's what I want from Norman Powell. And secondly, my challenge is I don't think Norman Powell has been sound defensively. And I just really want him to be sound defensively. I don't mean he's got to be elite. I don't mean he's got to be great. I just mean that if he's average off the ball, Norman Powell would help the Clippers second unit so much. That's my challenge to Norman Powell, just especially defensively. The assist I want to see as well, just because he's just that great at offense, that it's just there for him. They're easy. But the defense, I just don't think he's been great. Defense is about a lot of effort and just knowing where to be. And just, you know, I just really want him to be better defensively for the second unit. If he can be average, it would help the Clippers defense tremendously if he's average to above average. And that is my challenge to one, Norman Powell. So I talked about Zubac earlier. Now we're going to talk about Mason Plumlee. Now, you guys know, I don't think Mason Plumlee's defense is good at all. I really don't. That's my opinion. I think that there is a pretty good size gap between Zubac defensively and Plumlee defensively. Now, but Plumlee gives you something different at the center position. So now they've got two point guards. We've talked about both of them, and they've got two centers on the Clippers, which they did not have at the beginning of last season. And with Plumlee, he gives you something different, a different dynamic. Plumlee's very athletic for his 6'10" frame. He can run with Russell Westbrook. He's got to handle a little bit as a center. So sometimes he starts to break, although I think he needs to give the ball to a point guard. But he can start the break. And what he is, he's a tremendous passer at the elbow and at the free throw line. And so he's a really good passer. He can run the floor. He can catch lobs. He gives you something offensively, a little bit something different, a different look than that of Zubac. And so they've got two centers who provides excellence on opposite ends of the floor, so they give you something different. Plumlee's also very good and crafty in the posts. You know, he's able to get to the post and get to the cup, lay it up very efficiently. And so that's something that Zubac gives you. And he averaged about 10 points last season. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. I believe, like I said, as a center, three assists. Like, he's just very, very good. He shot 68% from the field last season, so he's ultra efficient there as well. Now, his field goal percentage in the postseason last season was 87%, and he shot 93% from the free throw line, which blew my mind. He shot 68% on the season, but he definitely brought it in the postseason last season. And he's averaged about 6.8 rebounds in the postseason and only about 1.8 assists. But, you know, there was no Kawhi, no Paul George, and so that affected a little bit. So I expect for Plumlee to be somewhere in the 8 to 9 point range. I'm not so sure he's going to average 10 to 11 points a game. He averaged 10.8 last season. I think he'll be somewhere in like the 8 point range. I do think that he'll average a ton of rebounds because I think it'll be a lot on him. Norman Powell and Bones are historically good rebounders. That's who he'll be out there with. I think he's still going to grab a ton of rebounds. Maybe he'll be in the 8 to 10 range because he'll be getting all of them, depending on who he's out there with the second unit. I do like him sitting at 3 assists. I think that that's right. My challenge to Mason Plumlee, you guys probably already know, is just that he's better defensively. I don't think that he's very sound defensively. Again, defense is about effort and knowing where you want to be, or where you're supposed to be. And it's also about the other players knowing where they're supposed to be as well. So I just want to be fair about that, you know, because if someone else is out of position, then you've got to help them. Not everyone is. And that could be part of it too, because I don't think Bones is a strong defender. I don't think Plumlee's a strong defender. And I don't think Powell's a strong defender. So my challenge to him is to be, because he's the center, you know, he's the defensive anchor. And so I think it'll help tremendously if he's average to above average defensively for the second unit. That's my challenge to Mason Plumlee. You know, just know where to be, communicate to your wings and guards in front of you, do your best at the point of attack, because I think that the centers, like I said, the centers are supposed to be playing more at the level of the ball and pick and rolls, and just knowing when to drop, when to, just knowing exactly when to make that pass off with an offensive player back to the guard and things like that. And so I think that it would just help tremendously if the center of the second unit is sound defensively. I don't think he's going to be as good as Zubac in that regard, but I want him to be average to above average, and I think it'll help the second unit's defense tremendously. That is my challenge to one, Mason Plumlee. Last but not least, I'm just going to do a small group of players. I didn't want to do them individually. I'll explain why in a second. You know, I did the main eight rotation pieces. That's what you've heard me do so far. Now, we don't know how much of Batum, Robert Covington, and Marcus Morris Sr. are going to play. I just think that they should be ready. I have my preference. I think it should be Robert Covington. Historically, since Russell Westbrook's been here at the Clippers, Ty Lue probably has his reasons why Robert Covington isn't the person that he's gone to. So because I have no idea how this forward rotation is going to be, I'm doing them as a group. Look, as far as the forwards, they just have to be good defensively out on the wings versus the opposing team's wings. And they have to hit their corner threes. Now, the forward that I think is most likely to do that is probably Robert Covington. And it's not because Robert Covington's a great point of attack defender. I don't think that he is. But he is a great help defender, and he can protect the rim, and he can hit the corner three. However, again, I don't know who he's going to play, meaning Ty Lue. So those are the things they have to do. But what I challenge the three of them on is that they really dig in deep defensively and try to be an elite defensive wing. And also challenge them to really, really get on the boards. That's my challenge to the three power forwards that we just have no idea who is going to play. Marcus Morris basically wasn't able to play the entire preseason due to injury. Robert Covington got one start, thought he was great. Next day, he started Batum. Batum, to me, didn't look great, but I don't know. Last year, Ty Lue really, really went to Batum when it mattered most. So I don't know what Ty Lue's going to do. That challenge to all three of them is to really be a really good to great defensive wing and really dig in on defense and be elite in that area. That's my challenge to Robert Covington, Nicholas Batum, and Marcus Morris Sr. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Westwood Podcast. If you made it this far, I really, really appreciate you. I know this one was super long, way longer than it usually is, but I'm excited for this Clipper season. I'm excited about all the rotation pieces. I want to talk about each one, what I expect from them, what challenge that I want to give them to see from them this season. And so I did that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this entire thing. I know it was super long, but remember, as always, you can find me on Twitter, JD Jackson, at the Westwood Pod, and on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. And guys, please, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, and much, much more. So please, please hit that subscribe button. And as always, until next time,